You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United, Paul Armstrong!
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In this with my club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's crucial league match at Darlington.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake, and you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show we'll also be hearing if the women's team could progress to their third consecutive Argyle Cup final. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with a date for your diary as FC United's fifth annual gala dinner will be taking place on Friday the 8th of June at the Museum of Science and Industry in Manchester. 2019 marks the 20th anniversary of Manchester United's glorious treble achievement. To mark this auspicious occasion, the club's guest of honour will be Andy Cole. The price to supporters for this evening extravaganza is £99 per ticket. This includes a drinks reception and a four-course meal. Tickets are available from gala at fc-utd.co.uk or from Mike Burton Wood on 07966 295 353. In other calendar-related news, and this Wednesday the 10th of April, the FC United women's team will play Stockport County Ladies in the main stadium in what could be a title decider. Admission is free to all, and the SMRE bar will also be open on the night, showing coverage of Manchester United v Barcelona. And finally, for this week's news, and FC United manager Neil Reynolds has been true to his word and made changes to his squad in preparation for the April run-in. For more, Ben caught up with Neil on Friday evening.
So, Neil, a big thank you for joining us. And, well, I ask you this question nearly every week about how's training been this week. But this week, I think a lot of people are very curious to know how training's been. A lot of under-21s in the squad. How's training been this week?
Training's been great, Ben. You know, the 21s have come in, not just the ones that are going to join the squad tomorrow, but, you know, we've had an influx of them, seven or eight that have trained with us this week. And, you know, they've just come in and they've just given a breath of fresh air, you know, playing with freedom and, you know, no points to prove, just to, you know, going about the business and gelled in with the lads. And, you know, the lads have made them feel really welcoming. And that's part of the club. You know, we're all part of this club. So yeah, it's been great. You know, it's been great. On the back of probably one of the most difficult weeks of my career to date, it's been nice to be in around training and see the lads, just be around the lads, to be honest.
Now, there has been four departures announced this week. Dominic McHale, Danny Morton, Bob Harris and Dale Whittam have gone back to Chorley. So you've had to raid that under-21 pool. I mean, the actual under-21s themselves, I think they're way clear up at the top of their division. So they are a quality bunch of players.
They are. Listen, they are a good bunch of players, and I've been delighted with the way they've fitted in and watching them individually and watching them collectively and not realising probably how good they are. You know, when you're on a part-time basis, you don't get to see the 21s as much as you like to do. And, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised and they've gelled in really well. Yes, there's been departures this week. You know, I came on air last week after the game and, you know, I said I wouldn't be afraid to put the 21s in. And if I'm going to do that, then unfortunately people would have to leave the club. I was disappointed last week. I've been disappointed all week. I'll be disappointed for weeks to come and probably years to come. You know, the last week's performance and the lack of effort and everything that associated with it will never go away from me. And it'll be something that I remind players of in the future. But, you know, players have left the club and now it's, you know, the transfer deadline's gone and it's a chance for the 21s to step up. And do you know what? The frame of mind have been then, even if the transfer window was still live, I'd go with the 21s anyway because I want lads that desperately want to play for the shirt, play for the club, and you know I know them lads definitely want to get involved in the first team.
Now let's talk about the four players in particular who've been announced as part of the squad going up to Darlington on Saturday. Jan Palinkas, we've seen him. We know what he's about. He's a cracking lad.
Jan's a great addition to the squad. I spoke to him after training last night. The probably one thing that he misses is a voice. I said to him, when you're in the middle of the heart of the defence, even if you've got experience right and left of you, don't be afraid to tell them what you think, because as a centre-half, mate, you need to pull people in and pull people about and organise the back line. And, once I gave him that information last night, he was great. We did shape work. He was great. He fit in alongside Zen Mohammed yesterday. And, I know what Jan can do. It's now time for him to step up, but not just step up and play with pressure, step up and play with freedom and go and tell people exactly what he can do and, force himself to see reckoning for the rest of the season and next season as well.
And Jack Grimshaw as well, part of the promoted UCFB team, captain of that team, also captain of the under-21s team. Very, very level-headed by all accounts.
Do you know what I like about Jack? I mean, we brought him on against Telford the other week with, only 3 or 4 minutes to go. But what I like about him, he keeps everything simple. He doesn't try to complicate everything. Everything's two-touch. He's got a presence about him. He holds his shape very well. He talks and retains the ball. And that's what I like. He retains the ball really well. And, he's come in and been around the team. And dare I say it, embarrassed, one or two in training this week. He's been great. So, if he gets his opportunity, I'm sure that he'll take it.
Will Ozono, ex-Crystal Palace Academy, scores bags of goals, a centre-forward, also can play as a winger. He's very exciting.
Listen, I thought Bannister was quick, and then he went up against Will. And Will is something else. I've got absolutely lightning speed, but not just like a run. He runs with the ball. He travels both directions. We did like a shape exercise on Tuesday in the final third, and he's dropping senior players on the backside. He's scoring two goals in training. And I just turned around to Chaddy and Mark. I said, I love watching players like that. People will excite me. People are prepared to travel with the ball. People are just prepared to take risks. And if it doesn't go right, go and fight the ball back and go and get it again. And, probably something we're missing. Simoes has gone, and he's just lit it up. He's just lit it up. And, probably an apology from me that I haven't brought him in sooner. But as soon as I seen the kid on Tuesday night, and I seen him again Thursday night, he's going to be a welcome addition. And, there'll be defenders out there that won't want to play against his pace, but and his tricks as well. So, again, if he gets the opportunity, I'm sure that he'll take it. And like I said, he won't let anybody down, but definitely an exciting one to watch.
And finally, Mark West. He's been described on the website as an infectious midfield player, an attacking midfielder, a bit of a playmaker. What can you tell us about Mark?
Can I say love him, the way he plays? I do. I love everything about the way he plays. He's got a great physique. He's tall. He's skillful. He drives with the ball. He picks good passes. He's tenacious. He's good in the air. He is. And listen, Westy is probably one of the senior ones out of the under-21s. And I've just about apologised about not seeing Will soon enough. And like I said, I'm sure if I would have got a chance to see the 21s more this season, then Westy would have broken. And he's been brilliant. He's been a real, real surprise to me training this week. And, he's just fit in. And if he was not an under-21 signing and we announce him as a signing tomorrow, I think people will be, really excited to looking forward to him play. So, I am. He's coming. Level-headed, done his work, really polite, really, everything about him. I've just enjoyed his company this week, and I've certainly enjoyed him in training. So, Westy will make an impression on the 11 tomorrow.
And you can tell just in your tone of your voice, Neil, that you're very, very excited about all this. But I'm additionally excited about coming back into the team is Michael Potts. He's returning from injury. He'll be in the squad tomorrow, available for selection. That's like a brand new signing all over again, isn't it?
Massive boost, massive boost. Just for me, it's been a boost the last couple of weeks, seeing him back in training and doing his work before the pitch and just having him around the place. And, he was devastated to be injured. When he thought he had a groin strain and then went for a scan and realised it was a hernia, and then we had to wait on his operation. And the kid loves football. The kid absolutely loves it. And, he was really deflated not to be around it. Operation's been a success. We've done a lot of work with the physio and the team at Preston North End, who's been giving him good physio treatment. And Potts is not 100% fit. He is 100% fit in terms of his injury. The injury's healed, but obviously he needs match fitness in these minutes. But to have his leadership qualities, to have him about the pitch and what he can do on and off the ball is, it's brilliant for us. And, I really wish that he was part of it, 10 games ago. And I'm sure that, we wouldn't be in this position, but we are. And that's not just down to one player, but he's infectious. And he's just got that natural leadership about him where, you know, he transfers my message onto pitch, he transfers players' messages around the park. And yeah, I can't wait to have him back. You know, he's been brilliant, and you know, we've missed our captain.
And he's been warming up. he's been determined to get back, so much so that he's been doing the pre-match warm-ups for the past few weeks as well, hasn't he? It's great qualities being shown there by the captain.
He goes a long way, that Ben, for me. You know, he's not a contract player. He hasn't picked up a wage. He hasn't picked up a penny from FC United for however long he's been injured. And he's always there. He's always at training. He's doing his work before the game. He's having his shower. He's cheering on the lads. Just little things like that. You know, that doesn't come with money. That just comes from within. And you can look around at times. You don't get that everywhere you go. So no, listen, massive boost to have him back. And let's hopefully he features at some part tomorrow.
And finally, then, Neil, this might sound like a very obvious question, but are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Can't wait, Ben. Yeah, I said at the start of the interview, one of the longest weeks of my life. You know, it's been tough. It's not been nice releasing players. It's not been nice, you know, on the back of a 4-0 defeat. You know, nothing about it. But you know what? It's given me real excitement. And what I said last week, people have said, you know, do you regret it? Is it too much? I absolutely love it. There isn't 1 minute that I've ever regretted managing FC United. And, you know, part and parcel of the decisions I've had to make it goes hand in hand. And, you know, for me, like match day, like training, like every day that, you know, we're not in, I'm always thinking about the game, I'm always thinking about football. So for me, tomorrow can't come quick enough. You know, the radio interview tonight couldn't come quick enough. And I just can't wait to get on the coach and get down to Darlington tomorrow. And, you know, go and play with freedom. Go and do what we've got to do. And let's see what happens at 4:45. And, you know, I'm sure after what I saw last week, you know, the fans will be there for us. You know, they'll cheer the lads on that are wearing the shirts tomorrow. And I just want, you know, the lads to do themselves proud, be them proud, and go and do what they've got to do tomorrow.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there on Friday evening. To the weekend football now, and on Saturday, FC United travelled north to take on Darlington in the National League North. To hear how the match went, it's over to FC Live.
So, hello everybody and welcome to Blackwell Meadows. And, well, in the build-up to this, it's been an interesting week. Stato Paul is with me, James Quinn's here too. James Quinn's doing some research into the team. He's not the only one, really. No. There's been Stato Paul, there's been several changes since the listener last joined us at Broadhurst Park, and some quite seismic ones.
Well, Renault promised changes and he's stuck to his word. He's brought four young players in from the side that appeared last week but didn't actually play. And we're all pretty excited about the prospects this afternoon with this influx of young blood.
And it's not just like, you know, we'll put them on the substitutes bench or anything like that. All four of them straight in the starting 11 this afternoon. Jan Palinkas, he's been in and out of the first team sporadically during the season. He's going into the back four. Also making his debut, though, this afternoon is Will Ozono. He's going straight in, former product of the Crystal Palace Academy. He's part of the UCFB league winning team as well. Jack Grimshaw, the captain of the UCFB team and the under-21s, he starts, as does Mark West. So all four of them in, Paul.
We've seen Palinkas play in the first team before. Very capable. Very, very skillful as well. Unflappable type of character. Let's hope he blossoms at this level if he gets a run. West is apparently a prolific goal scorer for the under-21s, so we're looking forward to him. Grimshaw is a very dependable midfielder. The real pick of the crop, potentially, is Ozono, who we think might play wide left, and he's got incredible pace, we're told. So be very interesting to see how he copes again at this level against professionals.
And for those interested about the substitutes bench too, Wallen's dropped to the substitutes bench, Donoghue's on the bench, Bannister's on the bench. Myers, we believe, picked up a knock anyway last week, so it was actually during one of the challenges last week, so he's on the substitutes bench, as is Sharp. But starting, and this is crucial, I think, out of all the players we're going to talk about this afternoon who are in the starting 11, Michael Potts, back in the starting 11 and captain as well, Paul.
He's been badly missed in the months that he's been absent. His leadership, his drive, his ability on the ball. We don't think he's probably going to last 90 minutes this afternoon, to be honest, on his comeback. But even if we get an hour out of him, it's better than an hour without him. And he could make a big difference on the run-in, we hope.
Also starting is Zen Mohamed, which basically means the starting 11 this afternoon is quite young. The good news is the average is being put up somewhat by Lynch and O'Halloran also in the starting 11, but we think they might be full-backs this afternoon, which might mean that Palinkas and Mohamed are going to be centre-backs. Is that an interesting call, do you think, having the senior players out wide rather than in the middle?
Well, whoever's playing out wide is going to have to bomb up and down the pitch. So, you know, that's going to be interesting if they do. I mean, I don't know. I'd have thought Lynch would be one of the centre-backs, to be honest, but and one of the younger players doing the donkey work up and down the flanks, but we'll see.
And Piers and Willoughby complete the starting 11. So an interesting afternoon ahead. And it's a must-win, really. We are running out of road here. We are clinging on by our fingernails, really, to this league at the moment, Paul.
Yeah, Darlington can secure safety with a win today. As for us, I think it's a great opportunity, given that Guiseley will probably lose at Brackley this afternoon. I think that's not definite, but it's a very strong candidate. So the gap, it will stay at 6 points before our game ends, and then it's down to us. Whether we can pick something up this afternoon. A win today could cut the gap to 3. And
essentially, though, it's 4 because of the goal difference. Yeah. I mean, people need to start thinking like that, because it's going to take a lot of goals to claw that back now.
But we've never... Oh, Darlington have got a 100% record against us in 5 meetings, and that's got to end. We went to Telford, and our record there was non-existent, and maybe it's time for us to do the same at Blackwell Meadows.
Well, it's certainly going to be an interesting afternoon, and thankfully I don't have to commentate on this because I've got a sore throat. So, FC Live brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. It's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon's game. It's Stato Paul, but first, James Quinn.
Palmer chips it out nicely on the right-hand side. Thompson has it. Can he put a cross ball in for Darlington, take it towards the 18-yard line? Cross comes in, Lynch with a header. Only as far as a Darlington player again. Now it's Jackson. Jackson, there's spreads it nicely. Nicholson. Nicholson towards the 18-yard line. In it comes. Headed in. Simple as that. And in the end, simple cross. And 1-0. Well, it was Holness who came in. And, well, he made a good run. He wasn't tracked, I suppose. Straight in the bottom corner, Paul.
Yeah, it was a good ball in. We just got caught on the cross. The first time, really, that we got caught on the cross going in. And Holness was quickest and managed to get the header in, and the ball flashed in.
Partly, this comes from a pattern in the game of FC's ineffective clearances. Winning the ball, but then going straight back to a Darlington player and coming straight back into the danger area. Disappointing for FC for that to happen in, the 43rd minute. Corner ball for the home side. Galbraith, the skipper, strolls over to take this one. And FC now hanging on here, 1-0 down. Cannot afford to concede a second. Corner ball comes in. Headed by FC, but second ball, Thompson! It's 2-0! Well, the header was won, but it went straight to Thompson. Nobody was close enough to him. Nobody closed him down. And FC United now on the brink. 2-0 down.
Darlington's goal, scored by number 11, Stephen Thompson!
As there goes the whistle, and the final score is Darlington 2, FC United 0. And on a day when Ashton, we believe, have beaten Spennymoor, despite the Guiseley defeat, FC United closer to the Evo Stick Northern Premier League. But Darlington, congratulations to them. Safety for this season, and they deserved it. And hands being shaken, and we'll wait now for Neil Reynolds to lead his players towards the FC supporters' end. And it was a mixed performance, what do you say, Paul?
Yeah, I think it was an honourable defeat, but it was still a defeat, and I think it was a deserved victory for Darlington.
Indeed, and what for you were there was the key to it all? Just lack of cohesion, really?
I think the reality is that FC at the moment don't have the players to compete in this division, and it doesn't matter how many times you shuffle it around, it, you still come to the same conclusion. We don't have the solidity at the back or the quality in midfield or the bite up front at times, and over 90 minutes you get found out, and I think exactly what happened this afternoon. It's a typical National League North game for us this season, in that we flickered at times and showed some promising signs, but overall it's just not good enough.
Taking a view, there was that period in this season when, before Christmas, when FC had a good run of games, particularly away from home, interestingly, with several of the players that are here now. Do you think, though, that that was, I mean, what's kind of gone wrong from that period? Because a lot of the players, you know, were the same players were then part of the team that then, where it started to unravel. What was the difference, if you could try and put your finger on it?
When you've got a small run of games, say three or four games where you're doing well, I think sometimes things go your way, you know, and you get the rub of the green, but over a period of time you don't get it, and normally the better sides win games, and I don't think the results have lied this season. We've lost a lot of matches, and we probably deserve to lose most of them. I don't think anybody can argue with that.
And what about this, although we've lost away today, what's your impression of why FC have had such a famine at home, just one victory at home in the league?
I think it's psychological now. Apart from the fact that we're inferior in terms of what's on the pitch at times, I think when you get into when you start the season badly and you don't win at home, I think it kind of grows on the players in the dressing room, and I think it becomes a mindset that, oh, we're at home again, so we're not going to win. And I think sometimes players look for things in a game. It's like conceding a goal and they think, oh, it's not going to be our day, or a chance is fired over the bar when you should have scored, and heads start dropping far too easily at home. Maybe away we seem to have a bit more ambition, a bit more hope, and we've won 6 away to 1 at home, so you know it does look like that the players actually believe they've got more chance away from home. And it's not just a case of beating the rubbish sides away from home. We tend to lose to the bad sides away from home. It's the good sides we get better results against.
So does that suggest that it's about dealing with pressure? Because if you're away to a top side and the expectation is minimal, then there's less pressure, isn't there?
Yeah.
So is that saying something about a frame of mind thing, a mentality issue?
Yeah, but I think even when we talk about Broadhurst Park, for the whole time we've played there in National League North, our home record has not been great. I don't think there's been any season of the ones we've had where we've dominated at home. It's always been a struggle. And whether the players have not really adapted to it being their home, or, you know, it's not felt like a home ground where we can be invincible. I mean, the whole idea of having a home ground is to make it a bastion, isn't it?
But
make it a place unpleasant for players to go to. But visitors tend to thrive at Broadhurst Park and score goals, and that's something we've got to look at.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, because the turnover of players has been quite significant while FC have been at Broadhurst Park. So in a way, you would say the players have come in, it's their home ground, it shouldn't make a difference, is it?
Also, that's another point when you talk about turnover of players. We've turned over far too many players, particularly this season.
David's been in touch, so great commentary, thank you. Every team has a bad season. And someone has to finish, well, in our case at the moment, second bottom. And it's just not clicked all year. Every single version of this team we've had, it hasn't clicked at all.
I think it's fair to say we've flirted with relegation every season in National League North. And eventually, I think, your time comes, doesn't it? You can't keep beating the drop.
Well, who's to say? Because, anyway, in a sense, what's happened has happened. Just if one wanted to clutch at straws,
I've got this. I've got this.
So now it's the new feature on FC, clutching at straws
with Ben, and I've done some writing. There it is. Don't pause it on that and say, God, hasn't Ben got bad handwriting? But FC United got 4 games remaining. Kidderminster at home next Saturday, Alfreton away, Blyth at home, then Brackley away. On paper, this paper here, those aren't the kind of games that we'd want, needing to win all four, because we do need to win all four now, don't we, Paul?
Yes.
Thanks, Paul. James.
That answers the question. So the straws.
Do you want me to tell you what Guiseley have got left? Guiseley have got next weekend. Guiseley have got Ashton at home. Mm-hmm. Blyth, which isn't actually that bad, because Ashton now, I think, smell blood, but don't they?
But the thing is that's lose-lose for United, though, isn't it?
Doesn't matter. Guiseley need pegging back if we're going to stay up.
But if Ashton pegged them back,
not too far away from Ashton, are we? We are miles away from Guiseley at the moment.
Yeah,
Blyth have got Guiseley at home. Guiseley then host Darlington, and Kidderminster host Guiseley the last day of the season. Now, the thing is, if you look at that list there, barring the Ashton match, an away trip to Blyth, a home match against Darlington, and an away match to Kidderminster.
Yeah, but there are this teams, I mean, Darlington, but I will not. They'll be on the holidays, won't they, by
now? True, but they've got nothing to play for, no nerves.
Where
would you like to go on holiday when you're playing Guiseley last game of the season? I mean, West Yorkshire's a lovely place to go for your holidays, yeah, absolutely.
We would hope that Guiseley
at that point, James, will be playing with the weight of the world on their shoulders, whereas Darlington won't be. And
that's true.
It works.
Well, hopefully.
Way. Yeah.
If it's still up for... Is that Easter Monday, that, then?
Yes.
So, well, if it's still...
To be honest with you, this is all academic if we don't win.
There'll be no resurrection.
Thanks, Paul. Happened on a Sunday, incidentally. Anyway, the thing is that...
Was that a late kickoff?
Again, Guiseley getting beaten this afternoon, and we've not taken it.
Here comes Neil Reynolds.
Oh, I didn't think he'd be coming over. Oh, right, okay, right. Over. Well, I'll take my headset off, and you two can interview him.
Well, Neil, thanks for joining us. Typically decent of you to come straight across. What for you was the difference between the two teams today?
Two set pieces. Mm-hmm. Naive defending, you know, and I'm not going to say at half time, you know. The lads got in between Zen and Jan Palinkas, who I thought were both exceptional all game, and you know, they switched off once and they go and score, and then, you know, the second set piece, Potts wins the first header, Jack Grimshaw loses his man, and you know, they put it in the bottom corner, but again, you know, Jack Grimshaw was excellent, you know, so it's hard to pick bones out of it, you know, but I feel 100 times better than what I did last week, you know. I'm proud, I'm chuffed, you know. All right, it hasn't gone our way today, but
and those,
they didn't quit on each other.
And all those, those 14 players, you would look every one of them in the eye and think, yeah, you, including players maybe who didn't give 100% last week.
It's exactly what I've just said. It's exactly what I've just said to him. I've just said them words. I feel 100 times better because you didn't give up on each other. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough. You're on the back of a 4-0 defeat. You know, Ashton are winning because people were talking about it at half time, and, you know, things aren't going our way, and they could have capitulated, and they didn't do. You know, it was unfortunate we lost Westy for an injury and fatigue, and you know, Will, you know, but all of them, not just the young lads, I think all of them today, I think they gave a good account of themselves. You know, I know it's not perfect, I know that we've got to polish in key areas, but you know, the team that took to the field today, and the subs and the lads that weren't used, they tried and they give everything they could, and you know, they just weren't good enough. But
how unlucky when Willoughby hit the post with that brilliant shot on the turn, that,
you know, if that goes in, it's a different game. If Piers 1v1 in the first half, he just gets a nick to it, it could be a different game. And then Mohamed Zedda there, I could hear the sings, all the fans singing, and if we score, we're going to be on the pitch and things. And I thought we were going to score, you know, set up a finale. But they didn't. But they didn't stop trying to pass. They didn't stop trying to work for each other. They didn't stop trying to move the ball forward. They just, you know, and I just said to him in there, four games to go, and we just keep trying. We keep trying to do the right things, and it will come off. And you know, we're hurting because we're hurting. No one likes getting beat, and you know, you don't want to draw in towards the end of the season and the season not capitulate, which it won't do. But no, you know, it's difficult. It's disappointing. But
wasn't how important was it to have Michael Potts back?
He was great, wasn't he? 60, 65 minutes, he was great. And, you know, I spoke to the medical team, spoke to Liv, and, you know, trying to get him to 60 minutes, and he didn't want to come off, but, you know, we didn't want to risk injuries. And, you know, he came off, he gave a great account of himself. look, he took about 10 minutes to get into the game. He found his second wind and, you know, he was at it. And, you know, we heard him in the dressing room at half-time. And, you know, I'm confident, I said in the interview last night, I'm confident that if he would have been fit 10, 12 games ago, then maybe we weren't in this position. But, you know, great to have him back on the pitch. Great to see the response. You know, it's been a long week, like I said, and today couldn't come soon enough. We haven't got the right result, but I've seen lots of positives that I can go away and feel optimistic about for the rest of the week before next week.
Was the kind of quick transition part of the game plan today to turn them round? Or was that?
Yeah, I thought, you know, with the pace, with Will, the pace of Piers and Kurt, and try and get us joining in from the middle of the park. We said that, you know, don't overplay. You know, the pitch isn't conducive for great football. But, yeah, try and turn things around and get space in behind. We knew that, you know, they're experienced at the back, but we might be able to hurt them with our pace. And I thought we did, you know, two or three times. But it just wasn't to be. You know, we worked on that in training and it wasn't to be. But lads, what I like about today is that lads listened and lads took things on board and they played with a desire and with instructions and, you know, That's what I said. I feel 100 times better. I don't like losing games of football, but, you know, them lads will give a good account of themselves today.
Just reflecting on a couple of things over the season is this is an away defeat, but one of the curious things about the season has been FC's away form. There's been half a dozen victories, but only one at home. And how would you account for that? Is that a mental thing about not dealing with the pressure of playing in front of your own fans? Or
I don't know.
Obviously, you've not been here all season.
No, I haven't, but I don't know, because that, to me, that home crowd, that home venue, would be the place that you want to go and express yourself and, you know, entertain people. And for whatever reason, is it a mental block? Is it psychological? You just haven't been able to perform. And I believe that last season it was the other way around, and the home form was good and the away form wasn't. And, you know, we haven't changed our style of play. It's just, it's a little bit like today. We've switched off in key areas, and I think we've switched off, you know, even from taking the Nuneaton game out of the way and the Chorley games. There hasn't been a lot in the games. It's just been them defining moments, and then can we bounce back into situations? And unfortunately, their moments have come at home and they've come away. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's nothing delight me more now to go to Broadhurst Park and go and win two out of our last four games and, you know, get everyone positive. But I don't know. But certainly, you know, there won't be that mental spillover next season, because obviously there will be a freshness and there will be developments in terms of the players, and hopefully make the place a fortress again and be away from home, be hard to beat and still be entertaining, but be hard to beat, and that's our focus.
And your early period as manager, there was a new pattern of playing and there was a successful period. Yeah. Where do you think it started to unravel?
Yeah. I think, you know, I've got to be careful what I say, but maybe certain players undermining the way that we wanted to play and things spiralling, and then all of a sudden you go to places and people changing the way we play and not listening to what we do, and then you're changing the personnel, bringing people in, and it's hard to adapt. And I honestly thought, you know, the first six games we're going to go on and we're going to be great, but just things started creeping in, which were hard to undo.
And the absence of Potts' leadership was a factor in all that, because it does slightly coincide, doesn't it? The period where the team struggled with him being injured.
It does, you know, and you shouldn't highlight one person. No. Like, again, I said in the interview last night, your Michael Potts of this world are very hard to come by, you know, and it's not, they're not driven by money, and they don't cost you a lot of money, because they just want to play football and they want to do what's right for the club. We've desperately missed him. It's great to have him back. He'll be here next season. You know, no need to worry about that. He'll be here next season, and we'll build around him, and we'll make sure that we've got lads that play like he plays and does what he does.
And you showed a lot of faith in Grimshaw in the case you played him, but also he got an early yellow card, and when the substitutions were coming up, we were speculating we'll maybe wrap him in cotton wool. He might get a second yellow, but he seemed to grow into the game. What was your...
That's the exact words that the bench has said, actually. He grew into the game. And, you know, it was a good foul. You know, when he got the yellow card, that showed quite a level of maturity, because he knew there was a breakaway. He knew that six, seven players were going in front of the play. And he took one, you know, for the team. But then he did grow into the game. I thought his passing was good. He was tenacious. He got forward. He tied towards the end. But I was delighted with him. And, you know, I can see why he's a captain of the UCFB team, captain of the 21s. And I can see why he gets people playing around him. For him, that's going to have done him the world of good. They're disappointed, but they've loved the occasion. And I wanted to keep them on. You know, if Westy didn't fatigue and his hamstrings didn't go, I would have kept Westy on. Will got a little bit lost at times, but still, you know, still did well. Put a great ball through for in the first half of Pier. So all in all, I'm really happy. And you know, they're going to be in and around it again for the next four games.
How much do you think those young players that came in today have learned in this kind of arena, where you're really up against experience?
I mean, Westy just said he didn't realise how quick it was, you know, the pace of the game. He said, you know, in the 21s you get a lot more time. He said the pace, people are into your face. And sometimes you don't see that. You know, he's great, but he didn't realise. And Jack said the same thing. And, you know, I think that's what they learn. You know, they've just played in front of a crowd of 1,500 people. You know, it's incredible. Just in the away fans at the end, and that'll stick with them. But they're going to get another opportunity. And what'll be nice for them is when they make their home debut. You know, that'll be nice for them, because they will make their home debut. I'm not just going to put my faith in them for a game now. They've, you know, I think they've done enough today. I think we just highlighted Jack. You know, he's done enough. You know, let him go again, and let Westy go again, and you know, and let Yang go again, and see where they end up. Because I enjoy watching them play. I enjoy really watching them play.
So the higher you go up, the quicker the decision making has to be.
Yeah,
that basically.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of times in the first half that, you know, the ball's got wrapped under Jack's feet, and you watch Potts, he knows which player on the corner in one, or he knows when to use his body, and Jack will get that. You know, one game at, you know, Conference North level at his age, 19, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And you know, like I said last week, he wants to play for the club, he wants to develop, and we'll help him develop. And the only way he's going to develop is to play games. So, you know, he's definitely going to be in and around it for the next four games. He's definitely going to be around it for pre-season when there's eight games, nine games. And go and put yourself in the window for the first game of next season. But we've shown today that I'm not scared to play them lads. And you've just said on today's performance, you know, they've given a really good account of themselves.
We think if you picked up 12 points from these four games, we think you could be safe. What do you... You know, obviously you're going to be positive, but do you see seeds in this group of players that could... For example, win away at Brackley.
I see belief, and I hear belief, and what the team have just said in there. Mm. They did it for me. You know, I could hear them. Four games to go. We haven't won today. Let's go and win next week, and let's go and put it behind us. But you know, that's the first time that a lot of them have played together, and Potts has come back in. There's new faces in the four and the 21s. Let them go and do it again next week. Mm-hmm. You know, and let's go and see what's on offer next week. But listen, one win sparks it, and if it's next week, and it's the week after, and the week after, you know, we've said all season till it's mathematically impossible, and it's not. It's still possible. So, you know, I'm going to be positive, I'm going to be optimistic, but it's quite nice to hear the dressing room, you know, saying that. And, you know, listen, there's not many people going to give us a chance, is there? But why not? No, yeah. You know, why not?
James and Paul there, speaking to FC United manager Neil Reynolds on Saturday afternoon, following FC's 2-0 defeat against Darlington. As discussed there, next up for the Reds will be at home to Kidderminster Harriers this Saturday at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. Women's team news now, and on Sunday afternoon, FC United hosted Merseyrail in the semi-finals of the Argyle Cup. To hear now if Luke Podmore's side could make it through to their second cup final of the season and their third consecutive Argyle Cup final, it's over to Ben and Paul.
And FC United back with possession now with Chloe Ainsworth. Keirs Carrington now. Carrington from left back for FC United. Plays the ball long. Battle is onside. Battle now. Is she going to round the keeper? She does round the keeper. Maintains possession as she rounds the keeper. It ricochets off Battle, but she keeps it. Sticks under her feet a bit, but she manages to get a shot away. Rolls over the line. And on 5 minutes, FC United take the lead in this cup semi-finals, Paul.
Yeah, it was a good move that Battle was given the rights to run on, and... The keeper almost denied her, but she just managed to keep her composure enough to poke it into the goal when other players might have panicked a bit.
Well, FC United 1-0 up here in this Argyle Cup semi-final at Broadhurst Park. And now it's with the right back for Merseyrail. Just inside her own half. Over the halfway line it goes. Luke's cuts it out. Tries to find O'Gara. Which defended and cleared. High near the ball goes. Carrington's under it. The ball breaks out to the number 10, who can move a bit more inside FC United's half. I've got a nice drag back there from this right side. Nice ball to find the number 6. Shot comes in! And that is a peach of a goal from Merseyrail. Superb skill on this right-hand side from the number 10. A great pass to find the number 6, who launched the shot. And as soon as it left a boot pole, you knew where it was going. Straight over the head of Ainsworth.
and with 5 minutes left to play off this first half, it's an equaliser, Paul, for Merseyrail.
Yes, I think it's a game so far that FC have not been in control of, and this has been it's been coming for a while, I think, this riposte from Merseyrail, and they can argue, I think, they're well worthy of a draw at this stage.
FC United looking to pile the pressure on. The ball's going back to the Merseyrail goalkeeper, who tracks out there of her 18-yard box and gets the ball clear to the right back. Down the right-hand side, the ball goes back to the halfway line now for Merseyrail. Long ball played over the top. The number 14 was miles offside. Shot comes in. Good save by Ainsworth down to her right-hand side. An important save. And, well, I tell you what, that liner there was not up with that at all, Paul.
No. Strange. I don't know what the liner's doing over there. It's twice in the last couple of minutes we've wondered what he's doing, and he doesn't seem to be involved.
9 minutes left. That could be a match-winning save there by Chloe Ainsworth. Here's Greenall. Long ball over the top. Battle is onside. Battle one-on-one with the goalkeeper! Yes!
Well, what a killer goal.
Over the shoulder. The left shoulder of the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper had no chance. For the first time in absolute ages, Battle beat the offside trap. And not just that, Paul. Beat Gemma Lancaster, who's been on a shoulder all game. And with 8 minutes left, plus added time, FC United take the lead for the second time, Paul.
Is this going to be Heartbreak Hotel for Merseyrail?
And for those wondering what that's about, there was an Elvis impersonator. That's for the goal highlights later. Because there's a do going on behind us. An 80th birthday party, everyone. And not too far off the 80th minute. Yeah, FC United take the lead. And we're into the 8th minute of added time here. And surely not long left of this game. In fact, I think the referee's going to blow
it
for full time. FC United through to their second cup final of the season, through to their third consecutive Argyle Cup final. A 2-1 victory here at Broadhurst Park against our old friends Merseyrail. But blimey, Paul, it's been a battle, and FC United have had to dig deep to get this one.
I think the story of this game is overcoming injury. I think we had three situations this afternoon where players got injured and had to come back. The first one was Chloe Ainsworth, who picked up a horrible injury clashing with a goalpost. The second one was Jess Battle, who looked like she had a facial injury and she had to come up and get going. And the third one was probably the player of the match, Gemma Lancaster, with cramp. And critically, I think, with the game balanced at 1-1, Gemma Lancaster was incapacitated with cramp and couldn't keep up with Jess Battle in a key moment when Battle broke away. Battle went away and scored, as she does. And that really killed the game in some ways.
And it happened, we should mention this, it happened about a minute after Chloe Ainsworth had produced a brilliant save down to her right hand side, keeping FC United in this game in many ways. And you know, it's just as much about Chloe Ainsworth as it is about Jess Battle putting those two goals away.
Yeah,
because that was as good as the goal that Ainsworth pulled out there.
It was within a minute of that critical save, and it was a fine save. And it's saves like that that win games. And a cup semi-final, as we know, cup semi-finals can hinge on very small margins. The last semi-final we watched at Charlton was similar, in that was a last gas goal that won it. So, you know, FC have done it the hard way this season, getting to two finals, but yet again they're in two finals for the third year in a row.
So that's like Paul says, two finals under our belt, yet to win them yet. Obviously, the Manchester Challenge Cup, it's Salford. And in this one, I'm not too sure who we've got yet. It's not been confirmed yet. But in the league, that's not out of the question either yet. We are in third. We're 10 points off league leader Stockport. However, we've got three games in hand over Stockport County. And guess what, everybody? The two go head-to-head this week on Wednesday. Stockport County against FC United live here in the main stadium on Wednesday night. It's a 7:30 kickoff. We'll be here live on your behalf if you can't make it in person. But if you're in the North Manchester, Greater Manchester area, get down to Broadhurst Park on Wednesday night.
Fair play to the Merseyrail team. They're actually applauding the fans here. And that's really, really sporting, considering they've just lost the semi-final. I think that's really good. Good to see.
And speaking of sporting, we're giving our player of the match to Gemma Lancaster, who's been...
Without a doubt. Yeah. If anybody on Merseyrail is listening, congratulations for putting up a great fight this afternoon, and particularly to the captain, who's been absolutely brilliant.
But FC United progressed to the final. That final will be taking place some point in May. And in previous years, it's always been on Merseyside or that neck of the woods. And yes. I'd imagine it'll be on that neck, that side
I'm
again.
I'm sure they
this
won't disappoint
round.
Us.
But full-timer, FC United going through to the final of the Argyle Cup. We'll be back here on Wednesday night for that league game, that six-pointer against Stockport County. Don't forget as well, men's team action on Saturday. A must-win for FC United. It's FC United against Kidderminster Harriers. And then we'll be back here on the 3G pitch for FC United against Wigan Athletic Ladies on Sunday afternoon. It's all happening here on FC Radio. It's what you want from April, really, isn't it, Paul?
Well, yes, it's certainly all go. And congratulations to the women.
And that's us done with for another weekend of football.
For a few more days.
Thank you, Stato Paul, for joining us both here and in the North East yesterday. But from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, well, what an afternoon that's been. We'll see you all on Wednesday night. And for podcast listeners, up next, it's Neil Boo with his post-match interview. Oh, it rhymes. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.
OK, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and star striker Jess Battle. That was a tough fought one there, Luke. We weren't always the best team on the day, but we did win 2-1 and we're through to the final.
Yeah, we have said to the team before, you know, it's not always the best team that wins football matches, the ones who want it more. We were below par today, and we know that ourselves, but at the end of the day, we're still in the game, and that says a lot about us as a team. You know, we don't stop, we carry on going and we work for each other, but yeah, we know some things we've got to put right ahead of Wednesday, and by the end of the day, we move on and we're into the cup final now, and you know, we couldn't have thought of a better way to win it, really, in the end, with Jess scoring the winner, and you know, it was going through, especially against Bootle as well. It's always nice to get one over on them.
Yeah, the beginning of the day, all you need is to know that you're into the final. And Jess, it was you that put us there with two excellent one-on-ones and terrific finishes.
Yeah, it was an amazing feeling. We made it very hard for ourselves and we should have played a lot better than we did, but this is what happens in semi-finals, really, and we just pushed it to the end and we got the winning goal, so happy to go through to the final.
Yeah, we had quite a few chances in the first half. Not so many in the second half when Merseyvale seemed to be pushing a lot more. Yeah. But it was our goal that made the difference. So we were the ones with the cutting edge.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We won the second half 1-0, so we had to make sure that we didn't concede any other goals. They were putting a lot of high balls onto us, which you know, we dealt with all right in the end. In fact, Chloe made a terrific save as well at one point. It could have gone either way, but again, testament to our girls and the games that we've been in the last few years is that we've been in semi-finals, we've been in finals, we've won a treble last year. That's I think stood us in good stead really for today, and we've managed to get ourselves over line arguably when we played at one of our worst this year.
Yeah, I suppose sometimes it's the result that counts rather than the on the day performance, even though it was slightly below par. Like I say, we got exactly what we wanted, and we're through to the final. Let's hope we can do the same on Wednesday. Half past seven kickoff now against Stockport.
Half past seven, yeah, on here under the lights. As again, I think if I'm right, we're playing Stockport in the Argyle Cup final as well now. So that'll be a good, you know, we've got to try and get one over him ahead of that. And obviously, the league, you know, is massively important between now and then. So we've got to really turn it around for Wednesday and make sure we start that game with a bit more purpose than we did today.
Yeah, so you were on your own today, Jess. Do you prefer it when you've got Amy with you, or do you like the sort of like the responsibility of a single striker?
It's good having Amy up because obviously it's support and a strength and someone to play off, really. But I'm used to playing, I think I played most of the season up there on my own, so just doing the same runs and hoping that the team get the ball through, and they did today. I think it was Liv G, and then it was for the goal, which was good, so happy.
Yeah, you started your next 100. Let's hope we can notch up that second one quite quickly. Let's hope as many come down on Wednesday to watch us play Stockport. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Neil.
Thank you.
Neil Boo speaking to FC United's Luke Podmore and Jess Battle following FC's 2-1 win over Merseyrail on Sunday afternoon. Next up for the Reds will be that league match with Stockport County this Wednesday in the main stadium at Broadhurst Park, 7:30 p.m. kickoff. And that's it for This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.